Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, living for today, planning for tomorrow, that's the theme of this year's Palliative Care Awareness Week, which begins on Sunday and aims to help improve the quality of life of people with life-limiting illnesses and their families. Drive Time's John Cook has been to Mayo to meet one remarkable woman helping to spread the word about palliative care after her own diagnosis with motor neuron disease. And John joins me now. Tell us more about Maeve O'Herlihy, John.
With pleasure, Cormac, because I was delighted to meet with this inspirational woman who's led a very interesting life. Maeve was born and raised in Dublin. She moved her family to Brussels in the 1970s. She studied and taught theology and religion there. She moved back to Ireland in later years and to Achill Island specifically more recently, where she was ordained a priest in the Church of Ireland and appointed minister at the local church of St. Thomas in Dugort in Achill, which I realised I'd visited for Drive Time earlier this year, around the time of the big Oscars publicity for the Banshees of Inisherin movie. That's my church, Maeve was delighted to tell me, as we recall Brendan Gleeson's colourful confessions in the movie, though we kept our language clean as I asked the questions and Maeve typed answers into the Speak Unique app on her smartphone to talk to me, telling me that she's using similar technology to Charlie Bird since she lost her own voice due to motor neuron disease. It came as a huge shock to her in December 2021. It was first noticed by her GP as Maeve struggled to finish big words, she said. And a lot has happened in a short time since then because Maeve has had lost her ability to drive, to speak and to eat independently. I asked her what she misses most.
I have had to retire a few weeks ago, but without my great parishioners, I would have had to go earlier.
I mentioned your mother, a grandmother, a minister in church. You spoke to your parishioners, I'm sure. You had sermons. You had lots to say. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to not have your own voice now?
It took adjusting. If the parishioners accepting me leading a service by the Speak Unique was amazing.
Even leading your own church service with the Speak Unique app. It really is amazing, isn't it? Because I say you don't have your own voice, but you do. And this is obviously keeping you speaking. Your parishioners have been good, you say, people around you. You have a very special friend, as well as your family, I think, who's been helping you at home.
Yes, she has taken time off work to come and care for me. She is part of our family, PE. Her name is Angela, and she is an angel.
Very appropriate indeed, isn't it? I'm asking you lots of questions, Maeve, and making you type furiously there with your app. I'll get to the point, but some big questions and take as much time as you need. You're a woman of faith, I know. So I'm wondering, as you continue to live with motor neuron disease, what's your outlook on life now?
Live every moment possible. Continue to communicate. Say thank you to God for all the care I get and that I can actually sit here chatting to you.
I'm privileged to be here chatting to you as well. Do you worry about what's to come or how this condition will continue to affect you or deteriorate?
One or two things. Probably most is losing my breathing eventually.
When people spoke to you about palliative care first, Maeve, a lot of us think that's a very big word, a very serious word, and one we might be afraid of. What does palliative care mean to you? And how did you feel about hearing that term?
To me, it's the most important thing, and I was very lucky that I already knew about it. Now I want people to be able to hear the words palliative care and hospice said without fear.
And that is Maeve O'Herlihy there. But it's a subject, John, that some people might be fearful of or confused about.
Perhaps both, Cormac, because we mentioned this year's Palliative Care Week, is the theme of it is living for today and planning for tomorrow. And this comes from a collaboration between members of the All-Ireland Institute of Hospice and Palliative Care. Their experts say the more we understand and accept palliative care, the more people will benefit from the many great services out there, because misunderstandings about this subject do continue and persist. People, we're told, while this is happening, who could benefit from palliative care are less willing to seek out those services. services and potentially missing out on an improved quality of life, as Maeve says she is testament to, because she has a very cheerful disposition. And we won't mention any age, I said, but she types like a teenager there furiously on that smartphone, texting away to answer my questions. I met many practitioners helping Maeve to make the best of her life at the Mayo Hospice in Castlebar, where she can avail of respite breaks or maybe just daycare services or care in the community, including her physiotherapist Nicola and her motor neuron disease nurse Fidelma Rutledge, who also visits her at home on Achill Island, as well as other patients she attends to throughout the West. I asked Fidelma about varying attitudes she encounters when she mentions palliative care in the community, including Maeve's own initial response.
For Maeve, she's had plenty of visits to different hospices, the religious minister, so I felt that she'd be very open to it. But I can clearly remember that I terrified her. And I was quite surprised with that, but we had a long, long conversation about it. And certainly when I told her, I said, Maeve, this doesn't mean end of life. This means symptom management. And your wish is to stay here in Achill Island and to enjoy your life. My job is to help you to do that. And I said it to her. I said, look, I probably won't be able to do that going forward. To be able to manage your symptoms successfully without the help of palliative care. So then she became open to it. The home care team visited her and she done very well. And then she was invited to come into the hospice for day services, which was another big leap for her. But she came in, she said, I may not go back, but I'll give it a go. And certainly she hardly wanted to leave it after that. She wanted it to come every week. And now her thoughts are, look it, I'll either die in Achill or else I'll die in the hospice. And both of them are good options.
And either way, I'm really struck that it doesn't worry her. You meet people who struggle with it, their families as well. As part of this Palliative Care Awareness Week, I suppose you want people to talk about it, to understand it and accept it a bit more.
Exactly. There is nothing to be frightened about with palliative care. There's a lot to be frightened about with MND or with a cancer diagnosis or any sort of terminal diagnosis. But when it comes to palliative care, they're not going to shorten your life. They're going to manage your symptoms. And I think it's really important that people are aware of that. We're a progressive country, but I still hear people in my own personal life talking about, well, Mary up the road, she's gone into the hospice. That's not good. And you don't know what she's doing in the hospice. It could be for a break. It could be for symptom management. She could be home again tomorrow. So I think it's something we should be openly discussing and not to have that negative agenda that we have when we do talk about the hospice. Life is for living, but unfortunately for us all, death is going to be part of it at some stage. We can manage that. We can manage it as a society, as healthcare professionals. We manage it very well.
And they are reassuring words from Nurse Fidelma Rutledge of the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, looking to change attitudes about palliative care this coming week. Where can people find out more, John?
Well, you can look up the palliativehub.com to find out more about what's available to patients and families dealing with life-threatening illnesses and the great work that our hospices and other groups do. But I leave the last words to Maeve herself, Cormac, because she's very keen to raise awareness this coming week. When I complimented her on her positive outlook on life, I asked her if she has any fears now.
No, none. Because when the time comes, I will be here in this wonderful Mayo Hospice where my family will be cared for as much as me.
It's a great place, all right. I know for now palliative care is helping you to live longer and better at home, at your home in Achill, with just a few trips to the hospice here in Castlebar when you need them. What would you say to people who might hear, they might get a diagnosis they're afraid of, or they might be told about palliative care. They may not want to talk about it. What advice would you give, Maeve?
Talk to your friends. Don't hide it away. Even go and visit a hospice or come to daycare. Lots of my family and friends are jealous when they hear about my meeting with both Nurse Fidelma and all the palliative care team. Palliative care needs to be really known about so that people can lose all fears, either about their illness or that they may be about to die. Palliative care and teams like MDNurse Fidoma have given me real positivity and allow me to live and enjoy every day I have left.
Maeve, thanks so much for talking to me and for texting. I think we're both very glad of technology and palliative care.
Definitely. And it's been great to chat with you, John. Mm.
Thank you very much, Maeve.
And that's Maeve O'Herlihy there, ending John Cook's report. We send her love and wish her all the very best.